for the first time in Cord Cutter podcast history, we're starting things off with a rabble.
With a what? A rabble?
With a rabble. It's Mick here with Cinema Blend. Jeff and Adrian are here, but Adrian has requested the floor today because she's got beef over Netflix prices. Is that right?
Yeah, they're going up again, okay? And I realize they don't raise the prices that often, but, okay, if you pay $8 right now, it's going up to $9. If you pay $11, it's going up to $13. If you pay $14, it's going up to $16. And, all right, I know this might not seem like a big deal, but I'm starting to get annoyed by it. I know that there are a massive amount of options on Netflix, but... And they're making another push, like they did last year and the year before, I'm sure, to buy and create more original content. But I'm not watching most of this stuff. And I have a feeling most other people aren't watching most of it either and aren't even giving it a shot. For one thing, most of these originals, and usually it's stuff they buy, like from overseas or whatever, is not even that great. Like the movies especially, I've watched several Netflix movies and none of them have blown me away. They've all been like fine, okay? Most of them do not end up like To All the Boys I've Loved Before or Bird Box, where even if the movie itself isn't that great, for whatever reason it, you know, hits something in people and folks keep talking about it for a month after it's been released.
Secondly, genres. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but those are two movies that, you know, really, like, connected with people for whatever reason.
I get you.
I've never even heard of To All the Boys I Loved Before. What is
it? Oh, you missed it. It's a teen romantic comedy based on a novel that came out, like, last August or something
But I mean, if we're gonna diss Netflix original films, we gotta, like, bring Roma into the conversation and Mudbound into the conversation.
Oscar-nominated
films.
Right. But I'm saying, mostly, the movies are not that great. They're just okay.
Okay.
So that's my point.
Point.
Secondly, I think there are a lot of options, and I know it seems ridiculous to complain about the number of options on Netflix, but it's just like ridiculous and actually dizzying. I know by this point, most people who have Netflix have turned it on there going, I'm going to watch something different, scrolled around for an hour or more, and then either settled on something they've watched a million times or just given up and gone to bed or read a book or whatever. Okay. Here's what I want. I'm not planning to cancel my Netflix subscription, but before they do the next price hike, what I want is for them to break things down by category and some subcategories so we can actually opt out of some things and thereby lessen the price for some people, okay? Because they've got a lot of serial killer and true crime stuff on there. I'm never going to watch any of that stuff. I don't want to pay for it or pay for the new stuff that they put on there like that. I've tried some of the 18,000 Korean dramas they have on there. And the fact of the matter is, I do not have the energy or the bandwidth or whatever is required to watch a show where a young woman is so insecure about herself or around, you know, some guy she likes that she ends up shrinking and then has to be carried around in the breast pocket of her younger brother for 10 episodes. I can't do that, okay?
I feel like that's right up Adrian's alley. I don't know.
No, it really is not.
I wish that everyone could see Adrienne's face right now because she means this. She is every word that's coming out of her. She's not giggling. This is
no,
real time.
Those dramas, those Korean dramas especially, because I've tried several of them, really annoy me. What I want, okay, I'm trying to look at the pretty people from Korea, but I can't do it. What I want is like a less annoying Grey's Anatomy, and instead they're giving me all these like drug addict pre-death fever dreams, okay? And I can't do it, all right? But there is someone who loves all those shows, and they should be allowed to opt into all that stuff, keep getting it, keep binging it, while and whoever else doesn't like it should be able to say, nope, I don't want all that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
That's what I think needs to happen, because we're getting to a point where Netflix is going to start becoming so expensive that it's basically like basic cable, where people hold on to it.
That's my counterpoint.
where even though it's outrageously expensive, people hold on to it because of the like seven channels they want to watch or seven shows they want to watch. And that's it. The rest of it is just crap that they're not paying attention to.
That's a good point, man. I mean, you know, if I could pay for just Netflix cooking shows, I think I might opt for that.
See? See?
The food
package. And then Jeff, they could charge you like just $9 a year or whatever, or a month or whatever. You see what I'm saying? Instead of hiking the price up for everybody to pay for all this stuff that people really aren't watching that much and, you know, stuff they're not even trying.
Can I give my hot millennial take real quick?
Go ahead.
I'm using my mom's Netflix password, so none of this matters to me.
That is nice for you.
Let me just kick things off. First, let me just say Cinema Blend needs to pay Adrian more if she's keeping an eye on Netflix subscription rates as much.
Wait a minute. We wrote an article about it. I'm not just pulling this out of the ether. Okay.
You're right. You can read the article on cinemablend.com. I'm sure we'll have it in the show notes. Second, I think that you brought up the point, I think, of what Netflix is trying to establish. And I think that as Disney Plus kicks off and as all the other streaming services continue to strengthen, CBS All Access living off the back of Star Trek right now, and it's working for them, DC Universe kicking off, I think you're going to start seeing, this is the beginning of when streaming becomes the new cable, and I think you're going to see that organization happen more probably this year than like ever before, because Netflix has legitimate competition on the horizon. Like, there was always Hulu, but Hulu is just TV for people who don't want cable, basically, where now you're having good quality original content popping up on places that aren't Netflix. So, I mean, Amazon's been doing that for years, but their interface is just garbage. So, I don't know. I think that change is coming. So,
yeah. So, I mean, if all you want to get on Netflix is, you know,
Slobby's World. I love Slobby's World.
All right. Children's shows or whatever that is.
That's not a children's show. It's Pawn Stars for 80s and 90s memorabilia. It's amazing.
Oh, okay. No. See, I don't want to pay for that. I'm not watching that.
Well, fine.
That's my point. End of rant.
Gotcha. So.
All right. Well.
In other news, we're
now
talking about
depressed.
The Huge. What's
Why
coming
are
to Netflix
depressed?
In February?
You don't pay for it, Jeff.
That evil cackle. I didn't appreciate
that. I'm gonna get Adrian on my mom's Netflix account just to ease her mind a little bit.
All right, we're getting the wrap up cue. We got to get into what's going on in Netflix in February. Right into the big name releases. It feels weird to follow this title with that. But American Pie 1, 2, and Wedding coming out on the 1st. They came out from 1999 to 2003. Adrian summarized it beautifully.
Teen sex, pie screwing, and young love.
Yep.
Hey!
Ooh. That's about it. I've seen 1, and I've seen Wedding, and I feel like seeing Wedding was a terrible mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up awful.
I've never seen any of them, because I just didn't care.
You've never seen them?
No, not all the way. I think I've seen bits and pieces of the first one, but that's it. And I just didn't care.
Dude, I will say, okay, wait, let's let Jeff romanticize it first. Go ahead.
Well, I think American Pie, how did you know? I think that American American Pie, like, perfectly encapsulates the bro culture of the late 90s, kind of. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And like, yeah. like Blink-182 even makes a cameo appearance in the movie, you know what I mean? And, like, it's just full of, like, bad punk rock music, and it's, like, it's just, it does not hold up. If you watch that movie today, it's just, it's bad. I mean, it's some goofy stuff. I was trying to think of
watched it recently, is what you're saying.
I mean, it's popped on TV, you know what I mean? And I'm like, ooh, that's not a good movie. But I was trying to think of a modern equivalent to like American Pie, like that modern bro humor. I was thinking like Superbad, but then I was like, no, Superbad's clever in a way that Pie wasn't. So
yeah,
I mean,
Superbad
like,
is like, I feel like that movie still holds up. I mean, of course, it didn't come out as long ago as American Pie did, but I feel like in another 5 or 10 years or whatever, that movie will still be funny.
It's a good movie. American Pie is just so painfully late 90s. You know what I mean? It's like an era.
I'd like to say, like, who fucks a pie in 2019? But we had, like, the Tide Pod challenges, like, a couple years ago. So
people are still
stupid. The internet has not kept people from doing stupid shit.
People are doing the Bird Box challenge. People are doing the Bird Box challenge and like blindfolding themselves and driving cars and doing other stupid stuff. So yeah, people are still ridiculous.
Yeah, no, but if American Pie, if you've seen the first American Pie and then you tuned out of the franchise, let me tell you, things by American Wedding, they were rough. There was, I feel like, a three-minute scene in the movie where a girl is, where the guy's trying to drive home, and this girl is just bouncing around in a thong in the back seat. And I was like, I kind of sat, I was like, how long is this scene going to go on for?
That sounds, like, that sounds kind of very, that sounds American Pie-ish.
Like, sexually, it's more to be like, this is like porn for kids who can't watch porn, is what it feels like at times when you're watching it. You're
yeah.
Like, oh, here's a long that. Scene of titties and stuff, you know, like, there's other options. But is it... I don't know if it's so much a classic. I don't think you actually need to see it. And I might even argue that it's kind of aged poorly, as Jeff said, because bro culture is kind of on the out. Like, it still exists, but I don't think there's anybody rushing to be like, my son needs to watch this. Or my daughter needs to experience this.
No, I mean, I still appreciate it for what it is. I don't want to, like, be a hater just because I'm, like, a, you know, pretentious metro millennial or whatever. But, like, I mean, it still has its place in pop culture, you know what I mean? And I like Jason Biggs. I do, you know. He's really funny.
I don't
like,
know if anybody has ever said that.
You know what?
Jason Biggs is fine.
It's a newer opinion
well,
I developed after seeing
he was
on At Midnight and he won and he was hilarious on At Midnight and he was on Orange Is the New Black and I liked him on that show and I was like, you know what? I misjudged Jason Biggs because he was in so many bad bro movies that like I didn't realize at the time. He's actually pretty funny, funny, talented guy.
Let me say, I thought I was a huge fan of Jason Biggs for the longest time before I realized I was confusing him with Jason Schwartzman.
No, those dudes are totally different.
Jason Schwartzman.
Those dudes are totally different.
So, I think that's a good stopping point for that one. Once again, it's out on the 1st. Another one coming out on the 1st of February. You know they're always doing the big ones there. Jaws 1 through 3 and The Revenge of Jaws came out from 1975 to 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Adrian, what's it about?
All the Killer Shark movies, but most of them are terrible.
That's...
I did not know they made multiple Jaws movies. I've only seen the first one.
Yeah. All I remember... I'm sure I've seen Jaws 1 all the way through at some point. But I very distinctly remember as a little kid going to the theater to see Jaws 3, which was Jaws 3D... Okay. And my aunt, it was me and my cousins and my aunt and maybe my mom. My aunt somehow managed to sneak in an entire bucket's worth of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's what we ate in the movie theater.
This is the KFC movie theater story? I've
heard
this story before. I didn't know you were seeing Jaws 3D.
Yeah. That's what happened in Jaws 3D. And that's the thing I remember most about that movie.
Damn, I thought I was hardcore. I snuck sushi into Man of Steel, and I thought like I was like super cool for that. But
no,
a whole bucket
no.
of fried chicken out of
And I don't know how she did it. I wasn't paying enough attention as a little kid to notice how she managed to get the whole thing in there. But I swear to God, we sat down, the lights dimmed, and she whipped out an entire bucket of chicken, and there
Somebody
it was.
Somebody had to know what was up. You could smell it on her when
well,
she
yeah, you
in.
Could smell it, but I guess, you know, nobody cared or whatever, so.
I guess. Amazing. Yeah, Jaws, it's, you know, I know it's an iconic film. I know the first Jaws is really big. We're going to need a bigger boat. I remember the scene from Back to the Future with the 3D Jaws, and I know the iconic, like, theme, but, like, a movie, yeah, it probably means a lot more to an older generation than, like, my age, probably, because I wasn't raised around it, and I wasn't, like, you know. Why haven't they rebooted Jaws yet? Why don't we have, like, Jaws Skull Island?
Oh, stop. Why did you even bring that up?
Jaws.
Because I need a reason to feel invested. You know, it's fine.
No.
I'm sure it's fine.
Adrian acts like a producer is going to hear this and be like, why haven't we?
You never know, Jeffrey. You never know.
We have that pull, man. We got that viewership. People are always looking to us for ideas. Watch Netflix completely changes their model soon, coincidentally based off of Adrian's specifications.
Jaws 1 through 3 and The Revenge of Jaws out on the 1st. Mm-hmm. Next one. Here's one that I actually do like. The 1st, also. It's coming out then. I said that really weird.
You did.
It was released in November 18, 2016. Haley Steinfeld's in it. It's The Edge of 17.
Yeah. It's a coming-of-age dramedy with Hailee Steinfeld and Woody Harrelson, where an awkward teen begins to feel even more alone when her all-star brother begins dating her best friend. I love this movie. It's such a good movie.
I love this movie, too. Hailee Steinfeld's great in it.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this movie, you need to watch this when it hits Netflix.
It's really a super accurate depiction of, and I know it's like kind of goofy and I sound dramatic saying this, but the brother, sister, and mom go through like post-divorce kind of at that age, you know, as teenagers in high school and trying to like keep their family together and, you know, like fending for themselves. It was like oddly, brutally kind of real, you know what I mean? In a few ways. And I was like, damn. Yeah. That's a little crazy.
For people who've seen more recent like buzz about films, it's probably like the high school version of Eighth Grade is what I'd probably put it on the same level as. Have you guys seen Eighth Grade?
Oh yeah, I loved Eighth Grade. I don't know if I would compare the movies that closely.
I kind of think because it depicts the high school experience the way like Eighth Grade does like middle school. I would say it in like sense.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Not that she was sending provocative texts to random dudes. Or was she? I can't remember. So anyway, that one's out on the first. Going on to a teenage coming-of-age film that is completely inaccurate in literally almost every single way, but maybe, I don't know, I wasn't in high school in the 80s. Pretty in Pink, Molly Ringwald,
Mick,
John Cryer,
yeah,
Long Duck Dong. I don't know his real name.
No. He's not in this one. He's not in Pretty in Pink.
Wait, hang on. I'm thinking of 16 Candles. I have never seen Pretty in Pink. Let's recap. Let's take that and wind it back. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What's Pretty in Pink? Okay.
You're blowing it with your John Hughes trivia, bro.
Yeah.
These are different movies. Now, in your defense, it took me many years to be able to distinguish a difference between Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles, and then Pretty Woman, and then Pink Woman.
Oh, my Lord.
And then Pink Panther. And then,
but Ducky's in this. Ducky's in this. So 16 Candles, right?
Iconic John Cryer.
Is this like the prequel?
No,
the sequel?
No, Ducky's not in 16 Candles.
They're not. They're not. These two movies are not related at all.
Ducky is not in 16 Candles.
No.
What the fuck is going on here? This is blowing my mind. Okay, just tell me what Pretty in Pink is. We'll just blow past it.
Teen outcast Andy, who only hangs out with her older boss or oddball best friend Ducky, begins dating a rich, popular guy from school and realizes that navigating different social spheres is not easy.
So.
That's what this is about. It's got nothing to do with anybody's birthday.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to fucking say.
No, they are oddly similar for a role. The Ducky character you're thinking of in 16 Candles is the other dude. Not John Cryer, but the other geek actor from that era. What's his name? The guy that was in... You know what I'm talking about? Adrian, this is you. You should know his name. This is your territory.
I'm just gonna listen. You're talking about the little blonde guy who's not so little.
Anthony
anymore.
Michael Hall.
Yep.
There you go.
Right. The geek. Yeah. He's literally known as the geek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. And then he spent years trying to like shake that image.
So this is
insane. He did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah. He was in that.
He went from the geek to the dick, basically.
Yeah.
When he got into like his early 20s and his, you know, 20s, he became the guy who was like the football player who was a jock and a jerk. Yeah.
Totes. Like he was trying so hard to shake the geek image that he went like a little too far and started being typecasted as like the douche.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was in the Dead Zone. Dead Zone. That's what the that's 5 years on the Dead Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty in Pink.
Sorry,
Andrew Dice Clay's in this movie. I feel
really?
Like I was.
Oh yeah, yeah. I do vaguely remember that. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But yeah.
James Spader is in this one as well.
Yes,
Andrew McCarthy,
yes.
Annie Pox. I literally have in my mind 16 Candles and Pretty in Pink exist as the same movie where I'm blended the cast and always wonder why there was never a spinoff for Ducky and Long Duck Dong together teaming up. They could
because
have been
they
the
don't
Harold
know each
Kumar
other
before Harold and Kumar.
Long Ducky Dong.
Oh gosh.
Gosh. Okay.
Can't with you people.
This is a good time to stop a city. Another one, another banger coming out on the first. Personal favorite of mine that I'm absolutely not confusing with any other movie. March 17th, 2000, Final Destination came out. And I wrote the synopsis myself, Adrian, but I'm going to let you read it.
Oh, nice.
Anyway.
Devin Sawa, who I had forgotten was a person. Sorry,
yeah,
sorry, sorry, Devin.
Name drop him.
Stars as a kid who has a premonition that the plane he's about to take crashes and kills everyone on board. He and a few others get removed from the plane, which does crash, and death then comes for all of them in bizarre ways to balance the scales.
Yep. You guys seen yep. Final Destination?
Yeah, no. Yeah, the first one's really good, and then they tried to make a bunch of sequels that were, like, fun in yeah. their own way, but it's kind of like the Saw franchise in that sense. The first Saw movie was really good, and then all of the, you know, following Saw films were kind of like, oh, you're just looking for excuses for gore now, which is kind of similar.
Where do you guys rate this one on the Sawa scale? Where's amongst his performances?
I'm trying to remember.
I don't have that scale in my system.
Let me run you through. So Devin Sawa was in SLC Punk. He was the voice of Casper. He was in Tom and Huck with Macaulay Culkin way back in the day.
Nope.
Little Giants.
Nope.
He played Stan in the Eminem music video for Stan.
I always liked him. Yeah, he was Heroin Bob, right? Was that his name in SLC Punk?
Wait, no. He
was
Jason Segel.
he was the guy that sold the acid.
Yeah, right.
And
No idea. Mm-mm. I remember his name, and that's all. I don't even. If you showed me a picture of him, I would not go, "Oh yeah, that's Devin Sawa." I don't know.
I mean, he was a big deal though. People thought he was going places. Like
he had a moment.
He was like
I remember
the
that.
Kid, and then like he just kind of slowly faded off into the years. I wonder what happened. Did he go like Lauryn Hill and take the money and run, or like
wait?
Dude, do you remember that movie Idle Hands?
Mick, Idle Hands. Was he in that?
Yeah, remember that when that came out? That was like a big deal.
Anyway,
I don't remember it being a big deal.
Final Destination will really trigger you if you have a life-changing event where you almost die, because you'll be paranoid that you're going to get killed in a crazy way afterwards, is
right.
what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So go watch it, unless you've had a bad experience and you think death's trying to even the scales.
Yeah, I'm bored. Moving on.
16th. On the 16th. This one was released in 2005, and I swear we talk about it every time it pops up on Netflix. The 40-Year-Old Virgin. What more can be said? You know the cast.
Yep.
It's a Judd Apatow film. Steve Carell.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rogen. Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't know what the 40-Year-Old Virgin is, like, why are you even listening to this?
Yeah, I mean, that's basic level. Apatow.
Well, here's the thing. Even if you've never heard of the movie before, the title tells you exactly what it's about.
Plus, we're also supposed to be... that's the point of the podcast. We're just telling people what's on Netflix. We're not telling them what the movie's about right now.
It's clearly about 41-year-old virgins.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great film, though. I would say probably... I don't know. I put Knocked Up above it on the Apatow.
Oh, same here, dude.
That thing.
It's been a. I've seen
close.
The 40-Year-Old Virgin more recently than Knocked Up, so I can't remember. But it's. I would say 40-Year-Old Virgin still holds up because I saw that a couple years ago and it's still funny.
But I don't know where I'd put Superbad on that scale anymore, because it has been. I watched Superbad so many times when it came out that I just was like, I can't watch it anymore. And I
Superbad.
Don't think I've seen it since then.
I wouldn't consider Superbad to be an Apatow film. It wasn't directed by him.
It's not, I don't think.
He's executive producer though, isn't he? I mean, it falls in
that vein. He's a producer, but Apatow directed 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up. So
okay.
And like Funny People, like I would consider those Apatow films. These days that guy has his hand in like everything. So
that's
I mean
true. That's
but I mean I think Superbad's a level of its own. That's one of my favorite films. I always said that it got conned out of a best screenplay nomination. But
then I'll go
Plus, I would put Superbad in like teen or coming of age movies. I wouldn't put it in the same category necessarily as
a lot of imaginary films, Funny People, and then whatever that movie Paul Rudd did where he played basically a 40-year-old version of Judd Apatow. What was that one?
This is 40.
This is 40.
Oh, yeah.
He He's really good at really hitting,
I like that
hitting the nail on the head with what the movie's about.
That is true.
Yeah, right.
really right to the point with those titles. So good on you. Yeah. So anyway,
it could have been called loosely based on Judd Apatow's life. That would have been a little more on the nose, but
The one where I let Paul Rudd bang my wife imaginatively. Anyway, that's what's coming out on the 16th.
Damn it, Mick.
Mentions only. We got About a Boy coming out on the 1st. Hairspray coming out on the 1st. Netflix didn't tell us which one, but we're assuming it's the newer one. Hostel coming out on the 1st. Personal Shopper coming out on the 1st. 26th, Our Idiot Brother. And the 27th, Unsolved, Tupac and Biggie. Will they get to the bottom of who killed him? Probably not, because we haven't heard about it. Yeah.
No.
So we would have heard if they reached something there. Moving on to the originals. We got some good ones coming out, Jeff. I think you're going to be excited about them. Like Velvet Buzzsaw. I hate to put you in a box right now, but I felt like when I watched the trailer for this one, I was like, this is going to be Jeff's shit. Am I wrong?
Look at that cast, dude. Jake Gyllenhaal, Toni Collette, and John Malkovich. Like, this
is
gonna
be shit, really.
I think it's gonna be dope, and I am looking forward to seeing it with my face.
So what's it about, Adrian?
Velvet Buzzsaw is a satirical thriller set in the contemporary art world scene of Los Angeles, where big money artists and mega collectors pay a high price when art collides with commerce. I did not write the synopsis. What it does not say is that there's also a demon.
Yeah, that's a really important aspect. It looks
that it
dark.
Really is.
It's by the writer and director of Nightcrawler, and it looks pretty good. It's gonna be
It does, but it also looks like something I will have to watch like first thing in the morning on a Saturday or a Sunday, and then just watch a bunch of cartoons for the rest of the day to get it out of my system.
For real,
like, it looks like it's gonna like traumatize me.
Yeah, for sure.
I now that you've mentioned, I'm like infinitely more interested now that I know that
there's a demon.
It's not just the demon, but like the director from Nightcrawler. Although I would argue that I think Nightcrawler would be a better movie if they removed like the final 5 minutes, like musical scene. I was like, I feel like this movie was gold up until they were like, we're just taking a piss all over this film. In the final minutes where I'm dancing with the news reporter and we're covered in blood and what is happening right
now. It's symbolic.
I mean, I get it. I get the art behind it. But I was just, you know, let's go back to where he's laughing in a room alone and, like, looking around to see if anybody else gets the joke when nobody's in there with him. Like, that was, like, one of the craziest moments of whatever. See the Velvet Buzzsaw on the 1st. It's going to be out. You're going to love it. Or be scarred for life. And both are good things. Next up, High Flying Bird. It's a film coming out on the 8th.
Yes, it is.
Dude, that's another crazy cast. It's directed by Steven Soderbergh. It's got Zazie Beetz, Zachary Quinto, and Kyle MacLachlan. That's a weird cast, but like three big names. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, here's a synopsis. In the midst of a pro basketball lockout, sports agent Ray Burke, played by Andre Holland, finds himself caught in the face-off between the league and the players. With only 72 hours to pull off a daring plan, he outmaneuvers all the power players as he uncovers a loophole that could change the game forever. I don't care about basketball, but this movie looks like it's going to be really good.
Well, it has very little to do with basketball. It happens during the lockout. So there's not going to be presumably played for 72 hours.
Well, right, but it still involves like all the background basketball big player like businessy stuff that I'm sure if you're really into basketball you probably care about some of that stuff, and I don't is my point.
I'll disagree and I'll say it on the grounds of you don't have to like baseball to like Moneyball. I felt like Moneyball was more about like getting
Moneyball bored
done.
The crap out of me.
Okay, well, if you're not an Adrian I feel like, and plus, Jeff, they got that eclectic cast, you know, that's an attractive thing to watch this film.
No, I agree. I'm not super into sports, but I would watch it. And I mean, I liked Moneyball, but I'm just an Aaron Sorkin fan, so I mean, it's hard for me to like, I don't know, have an opinion about this little argument, gotcha. This little debate you guys got going on.
What was that?
It's a little, approaching it cautiously. All right.
We're just moving on. High Flying Bird out on the 8th. We got a comedy special, Kevin Hart's Guide to Black History, coming out on the 8th. Kevin Hart popping up on Netflix, fresh out of being kicked out of the Oscars. feel like it's going to be. I mean, like, we got to mention it. We got to mention it because it's crazy that, like, I'm sure this was planned well in advance, but a time for Kevin Hart to pop up on Netflix than in the midst of all this crazy shit going on in his career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I honestly haven't heard anything about this, but the...
Me either, and there was no trailer.
There was probably a reason why Netflix kept it on the DL the past few months.
But
couldn't
the title...
imagine what it was.
The title intrigues me, and I will definitely watch it. I like Kevin Hart's stand-up, I do. I know I'm basic, whatever, but he makes me laugh, and this sounds like an intriguing concept, and I'm gonna watch it.
I've always been more of a... Kevin Hart's a better actor than he is a comedian. Kind of thing. I don't know. I felt that way.
I would disagree completely. I would say it's the other way around.
I don't think he makes me laugh more in movies than he does in stand up.
Well, you know what? In all fairness, I don't watch Kevin Hart's movies because those aren't my type of movies. They're like Hollywood comedies, really basics. Like, I mean,
so you never saw Jumanji though, Into the Jungle or whatever it's called. You didn't see that.
I saw Jumanji. Was Kevin Hart even in that?
Get out of here.
Yes! Stop it.
yeah, he was funny in that movie, for sure. I mean, he's done... Look, he's running the risk right now of getting overexposed. He has, like, 3 comedies coming out, like, mm-hmm. every month, it feels like. He's in too many movies. He's not writing these movies. He's not producing these movies. He's just kind of, like, a comedic actor. I feel like he's, entering Dane Cook territory where people are going to get real sick of him real fast. I think he needs to back off and do some more comedy specials.
Okay, yeah.
Also, I feel like he is basically the same person in every movie. Now, he has done kind of a more dramatic role that is either out now or coming out soon. I can't remember the name of the movie with Bryan Cranston.
The Upside.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he's done that. He's starting to branch out a little bit. I think that could help. But in all the comedies, he's basically the same person.
We really buried the lead here, though, on what this special is about.
Yeah.
As Kevin Hart is trying to go like Hamilton or something. Because this is kind of like a stage show. This isn't like traditional stand-up comedy. He's doing... discussing the fascinating contributions of lesser-known individuals from Black history through the lens of various educational reenactments.
I think that sounds fucking funny, dude.
Like it could be funny.
I'm going to watch Kevin Hart do that. I'm very curious to see how it goes down, and I hope it's good. You know what I mean? I'll be honest if it isn't, but I hope it's good.
Yeah, same here.
So,
and you know what, Adrian, to your point, even in The Upside, he seems to be playing the same character, which is a bit of a more dramatic role, but he's like this like quirky little dude that comes into Bryan Cranston's life. And it's like, you know, like,
yeah, except he's toned his usual Kevin Hartness down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still the same person, basically.
His Kevin
Hartness. We'll see.
He doesn't tweet The Rock too much during this film.
That would be funny.
What is this Kevin Hartness? Nailed it. Mexico edition. Coming out on the 8th.
I had no interest in that. I can't believe they have an upside down exclamation point.
I know. That's
it. So that is how you'd write it if you wrote nailed it with an exclamation mark in
It's not,
Spanish.
But it's not like it says nailed it Mexico edition
in
Spanish.
Like
it says it
up.
In English.
I know.
And
I know.
It's just such a gimmick.
What freaked me out about this, okay, is that I tried to look for a trailer. I couldn't really find, well, I guess I found the trailer, but it looks like somebody just recorded it in their living room, and I couldn't tell if those were the actual people who were going to be involved with it or what.
I was completely confused for a moment. I just looked up a trailer. I was like, nailed it in Mexico.
Same here.
I still don't have a ton of ideas. But what I initially thought, I've since realized I was wrong, was that it was going to be nailed it, traditional nailed it, except they had dubbed Nicole Byers with a Spanish voice actress.
Oh, okay.
Really?
It's not a whole new thing? That's not correct. I was just watching the Spanish trailer for Nailed It. So,
oh my God.
I was like, are you serious? That's what they're doing? No, I believe this is going to be like a spinoff that's like based, kind of like, you know, Chef. They've been having some fun with the cooking shows. You know, I think one of the things we're forgetting about here, Adrian, is that like Netflix is international now. So they're trying to find the things that appeal to the broadest number of people. Well, I don't know.
I don't know if you have the right idea there. I think it will be Nicole Byer, and she'll be just going to Mexico.
I don't think so. I think the guy who was in that weird trailer with the kid.
What?
No.
Is going to be the host of it.
No.
Oh, I don't know, man. I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah.
People love Nicole right now.
You need Nicole Byer for Nailed It.
I like her in that show. I watched that show because my 3-year-old niece loves it. And Nicole Byer hates the fact that so many of her fans are children because...
Yeah, she does. She hates kids.
It's a stupid show. But it's a dumb show, but kids love it because it's wacky.
From what I'm reading here, this is a completely different spinoff, like the Mexico edition. So no Nicole Byer. It's just going to be like... This is custom tailored to people who live in Mexico. This isn't custom tailored to people who like to go to Cancun every year and stay on a resort.
Okay.
So I think it's going to be a different deal. But I'm glad it's not just Nicole Byer speaking in dub. It's really confusing at first. I was like, that's a bold decision by Netflix. But whatever. Anyway, so that's coming out on the 8th. I will just say it. I'm not a big fan of the sweet treats offered by Mexico. I think if I were to rank them internationally, I find there's a little, I don't know, I just don't like it as much. I've tried several times.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't understand what you just said. What you're
He's saying he doesn't like desserts that hail from Mexico.
Oh, right. I thought that
that are traditionally Mexican desserts. He tends not to
like. I just feel
them.
Like the sugar content's too low in them. I don't know, and that's probably just me being an American who loves everything ramped up on sugar. But no, I've always been I've been disappointed on it. I don't know.
You're right. I went to Mexico fairly recently, and I was doing some filming, and a guy gave me some donuts. He's just like, hey, here are these. And my brother
just said, wait a minute, you took donuts from just a random guy on the street?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I totally did.
Worldly like that.
I 100% did, because we were like doing him a favor, and he was like, hey, thanks, here's some donuts. And my brother
more dough than sugar for sure.
My brother came up to me and was like, just so you know, those aren't stale or weird. That's just how they eat them here. They're not sweet. And I was like, oh, okay. So like the bread was not sweet at all, and the frosting was like barely sweet, and it was kind of gross. But like that's just how they do it. You know what I mean? Like you said, we're just cultured as Americans to have our faces fucked with sugar on a regular basis.
Well, okay, I don't know the history of this, but aren't churros? Isn't that a Mexican dessert? Aren't those basically covered in? Isn't that fried dough covered in sugar?
Yeah, but even then, it doesn't feel like it's enough sugar to me. I've had plenty of churros in my day. And I don't know what it is. It's just different palates, I guess. You go internationally, and it's just, I don't know. I don't even know why I brought it up. I just felt like it had to be said.
Do you feel better?
There's going to be a headline that's like racist Cinema comment by Core Cutter's host. Mexico not sweet enough.
There's nothing great. It was just personal preference. It's personal preference. I felt like I just had to say that I don't find it would be appetizing to me, because I'd just be thinking about how I'm like, this isn't my ideal dessert choice.
All right. Well, you know, you had me Googling what TV show Sweet Treats was, so maybe we should get back on
track. Yeah. Let's get back on track. Let's move on to a reality series that I would guess, judging by Adrian's frequent Bachelor tweets, she will be into.
Yeah, I'm probably going to watch this.
Coming out on Valentine's Day, Dating Around.
Yeah. Every episode, one single goes on 5 first dates filled with flirty banter, awkward exchanges, and moments of true connection. Who will get a second date? Netflix's first original dating show. That's it. That's the end of that. Netflix's first original dating show takes an honest and compelling look at the real world of dating.
She'll read exactly what's on the prompter. You can't have her...
I love that. You thought you were going to say, like, who will get a second date? Wait and find out. But it was just, who will get a second date?
Who will get a second date?
That's the question. Now we're moving out. Well written.
So, why not just reboot Next? You guys remember MTV's Next?
I was just thinking about that.
A little.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me think of that in a similar way. Except, I don't think they have the ability to be like, get out of here. You just peed your pants in front of me. Let's move on to the next
person. That happened. I was thinking about that, too.
What?
Yeah. Someone peed their pants because they didn't think the guy was hot, so they wanted to get nexted, so they peed themselves in front of them so that he would say next.
Well, she claimed she did it because she wanted to get nexted, but I think she just peed her pants and then tried to play it cool. She was like...
She peed a lot. It wasn't like a little. It was
like she had prepped for it.
Like, who pees themselves during a date? and then is like, oh, I gotta get out of this date. I better piss myself. It's like, who would rather piss themselves than say, I'm sorry, I don't like you? Like, that's a weak person.
Bottom line, yeah. I feel like it's the kind of stuff, it's like that, or like the weird dating shows they used to have on network television late night where they'd have like the speech bubbles appear next to their head and stuff.
That wasn't network television. That stuff was in syndication.
Oh, whatever. It was in syndication. Yeah.
Like Eliminate.
I feel like this is kind of in those veins.
I can't remember the names of the other things, but yeah.
And they're great. They're great guilty pleasures. I'm sure this will be... That's the kind of stuff I think Netflix has definitely leaned more towards, is like really niche shows that people like Tidying with Marie Kondo. And they're really pushing that. And I think it's because it has an international appeal. It's a something for everyone vibe, as opposed to like, let's try to make the next Stranger Things. Or like, let's make like a trashy show that people will watch for 14 episodes.
And that's, you know, that's something that I hadn't really considered, but it's a good point given that, like, we're talking about streaming taking over cable. You know, Netflix has content geared towards everyone. They don't have to limit themselves to a certain fan base. You know, it's not it's not Oxygen, it's not MTV, it's not, you know, all of these very specific cable channels, but
it's people still petitioning to bring Mike and Molly back to television. It's the people who watch Jerry Springer every afternoon.
This is getting really dramatic.
Came out of nowhere.
It's the people who watched Judge Judy in the late
90s. I loved it. No, Judge Judy, love her. She's my girl. But anyway.
No, I know.
That's just basically what I'm saying.
I'm sure she's
I can't get you to shut up about Judge Judy.
The day after Thanksgiving, shit gets real. The Umbrella Academy is on Netflix.
Thanksgiving?
No, the day after...
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
They're the same for me. I eat
They're the same. They're the same. They both involve turkey and
and hearts and candy.
Yeah.
Same thing.
The Umbrella Academy's coming out and I'm super psyched about it. I hope it's going to be good. Early footage kind of looks all right. Superhero series kind of, right?
Yeah, it's okay. I'll read the synopsis. Reunited by their father's death, estranged siblings with extraordinary powers uncover shocking family secrets and a looming threat to humanity. So yeah, it looks. I watched the trailer. It looks good. There's, you know, you can already tell from the trailer that there's a bunch of mysteries brewing.
I think it has the potential to be a big Netflix series, or one that will be quickly canceled and have an avid fan base get pissed and yell at Netflix every tweet they release to renew it.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's one or the other. It's either going to be the mega hit that captivates America, or it's going to be the one that gets quietly canceled and people are angry. You guys, we're all on the same page. We all
Dude,
got it. Jeff's just trying. He's like, let's fuck off this and move on to what I want to talk about next.
There is a part of me that feels that way, yes.
Because we're on the 22nd, and as everyone who listens to the Cord Cutter podcast knows, Jeff loves him some Chef's Table. They got Volume 6 on the way, baby.
It's my favorite show. And you know what? They just keep cranking out these seasons. I feel like almost every episode there's a new season of Chef's Table to talk about. And
they're catching up
exciting.
With BBC. BBC, like, BBC with nature documentaries, it's like Netflix with pumping out seasons of Chef's Table.
Dude, I mean, I'm so happy that other people must like it as much as I do. Maybe it's just, like, cheap to make. I don't know, but it's just a good show. It's a good... But this says... This... okay, never mind. You guys...
What?
You guys had it labeled as a film, and then someone went in and edited it to series just now. I was like, this is a film? And then...
So you got more excited is what you're saying.
But you've always... and I think people like it because, first off, it's visually beautiful. Every episode is, like, visually beautiful. You're seeing great food be made. And as Jeff mentioned earlier, it's for people who love shows about food, but don't necessarily subscribe to the whole, like, I need to watch a cooking competition. I need to see this person craft something in less than 2 hours and rush as quickly as I can. It's like an art form, you know? It's exploring people's passion.
Yeah, it's you know, every one of their stories is always so fascinating. And it's like, because, you know, the food you make is rooted in your upbringing. And you know, a lot of them have, like, rough upbringings and, like, that's like their creative outlet. And I don't know. I'm a foodie, but I love it. It's my favorite show. It's so good. And I'm really excited about this season because while they cover chefs from all over the world, I really like the U.S. episodes, and this season has two Southern U.S. chefs, which will be interesting to see after my time spent living in the Midwest and visiting the South. I'm curious to see what they do with that.
Spoiler alert, it's Paula Deen. No, I'm just kidding. Netflix is going real hard on the controversial this month. I don't know why. But yeah, no, I totally agree with all that. And I do, I will say I'm a more of a sucker for the U.S. chefs. Not that I don't appreciate seeing how like stuff is made overseas, but it always sinks into the back of my head. Like, I'll be like, looking how much, I'll be like, okay, there's 50 minutes left. Am I realistically going to travel to Italy and remember this episode? Am I going to Italy sometime in the next 5 years where I need to know this? I'm like, okay, let's go to like this lady in Georgia who has like a great thing. I might go to Georgia.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No. Oh, totally. Yes. No. I'm with you. Yeah. It's cool to see the local. My favorite episode is about a chef from Chicago. So, I mean, you know, and I went to the building and stared out in front of it, and I was like, I wish I could afford to eat here.
Oh, my goodness.
Chef's table, you know, it's good. It's no Triple D, no Diners, Drive-Ins, and Drives, but, you know, it'll do for Netflix. Coming out on the 22nd. We got a whole list of things leaving. Actually, mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of stuff leaving Netflix. We don't got a lot at all. We got Black Dynamite. I'm crushed about that. I did. Mm-hmm. I watched it like 3 times since it came out.
Seriously? Sword
of Men. Yes! Okay. It's an amazing film. Clerks, Shaun of the Dead is leaving. The Big Lebowski mm-hmm. is leaving. The mm-hmm. Bourne Ultimatum is leaving. Cabin yep. Fever is staying. No Psych, it's leaving. Sing is gone, and Disney's Girl Meets World seasons 1 through 3 is gone because Disney has to stick it to Netflix for doing all the Netflix Marvel shows wrong so far. They're like, you don't get Girl Meets World anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that's why.
I think that's invisible. I think everything's a conspiracy, Adrian. I think everything that's happened these past 3 months has been a secret shadow war between Disney and Netflix.
You've pinned this on the wrong conspiracy, though. The actual conspiracy is that it's going to end up on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And then they're going to reboot Lizzie McGuire, hopefully. Bring back my girl Hilary Duff. I don't want to watch TV Land to see her. Make her Hill a superhero. Dog. Anyway, so we're at the end of the show. Guys, thanks for listening, sticking around for another episode. Although you haven't given us a review on iTunes, and I am kind of salty with you about that, so give us a review. The Real Blend guys, they're killing it. They're getting reviews left and right, and it's really making us self-conscious. So, like, give making us some stars.
Making us look like chumps.
Yeah.
I'm not self-conscious. We've been on double it's the time. Mick and Jeff. I'm
yeah.
fine.
My ego needs protecting. Adrian could take or leave this shit. She's got hero blood. So, until next week, tune in to see what's happening in March. TV is overrated. Keep on cord cutting.